Welcome back to the Draft Lab. I'm Joel Worth, and this is the IDP Plus Best Ball Show. Today, we're going to be talking about ADP. What is it? How can we use it to our advantage? How can we leverage the field and use ADP to get the best draft that we can possibly? And then we're going to talk about some players whose ADPs aren't necessarily reflective of their best ball value and some draft targets that we can look at in the later rounds. So before we get to that, let's talk about the underdog drafts that have closed. Unfortunately, the big board and the little board too have both closed. They've both filled. Unfortunately, I did not hit my goal of maxing out on the little board too. I remember that was the $3 tournament with the 20 entry max. I only got halfway there. Just not enough time in the day. But unfortunately, that is closed. Obviously, we're getting close to the NFL draft, and we're going to want to fill up the drafts and that are going on now and open new ones after the draft is complete. So right now you can enter the war room, which I believe just opened today or yesterday. It's already 27% full, $5 entry, 50 entry max, 11,000 total openings. So not a huge field in this one. So pretty good playoff advance rate. I think it's 3 out of 12, obviously, advance to the playoff rounds, and then 1 out of 5, 1 out of 9, and then 60 some person final. So if you can advance through to the playoffs, you get a pretty good chance of advancing and going into the money rounds. $50,000 in total prizes, $5,000 to the winner. I'm not going to hit 50. This is obviously going to close probably around draft time on Thursday, if not before then, but we'll get as many in as we can. All right, so let's get to the topic of the day, ADP. What is it? How can we use it? How can we make better drafts with it? So ADP is average draft position, obviously. So mathematically, there are three main central value theorems or ideas. One is the mean, which is the average. Which is just the sum of all the draft positions divided by the number of total drafts that those players are drafted in. So that gives you an average. Others are the mode, which is the most frequent one, and the median, which is the central value, where half the values are on above and half the values are below. I think both of those would probably be better indicators than just a mean or an average, because an average just cannot show you the outliers, the extreme positions. For instance, if you have a player whose average draft position is 100, that player could be drafted in at position 150 in one draft and position 50 in another draft, and their ADP is 100. And it could be 102 in one draft and 98 in one draft. Their ADP is going to be 100. So it's just pushing everything together and telling you what the average is. It does not tell you what the extremes are. And that's what you really want to know. It's how soon do I have to draft this player? How long can I possibly wait to draft this player if that's a player you target? So every draft that you're doing, you should have a plan. You should have a draft strategy, whether it's stacking, with a bring back, whether it's zero RB, which we talked about last week, or hero RB or robust RB. Whatever your strategy is, and it can be a strategy that you take on after the draft starts, right? You don't necessarily have to go in, but you find that you've got the number one pick and you've got Christian McCaffrey. You know, you want to go hero RB or you want to go robust RB. Whatever that plan is, you should have a strategy at the draft. But ADP is a grouping of all the drafts that are done. So it cannot possibly reflect what you're looking for your team, what you're looking for your build. And it cannot reflect the individual variances of your particular draft. Every draft is different, right? No draft is going to be the same. So ADP, it just can't explain what's going to happen in your draft. So what you can use it for is to look at how players around you in the draft are going to make their picks. You shouldn't use it to inform what picks you're going to make. Use it to evaluate which players will be there for your picks. So, for example, if I'm going to make a pick, I'm not going to, I don't necessarily care about the ADPs of the players around that pick. I'm going to look at the pick value for my next pick and then work back from there. Look at all the players who are going to be, whose ADPs are coming off the board in between this current pick that I'm at and my next pick. And then I'm going to see which player I want from that group that best fits my build. Because I don't want to be saying, okay, I need a tight end and I've got two tight ends that I really want, but they go off the board between, you know, between this pick and my next pick. I would rather have just taken those with that pick that I need, if that's what I need for my build. So you want to kind of look ahead, see what's going to go in between then, and then use that to inform which pick you should make at that draft position. So one thing about the ADP is it's based on overall projected point total for the season, right? And that's not necessarily indicative of what we want for best ball. Best ball scoring is very weekly. We don't care about consistency. We care about having the extreme scoring output weeks. So, you know, I don't necessarily care if someone gets 0 points one week, if they get 20 points the next week. That player is more valuable than a player who gets 10 points every week. So the overall scoring is not necessarily indicative of how valuable that player is for best ball specifically. And that's something we can take advantage of. So let's talk about some ADPs that we want to target because they don't necessarily reflect how these players are going to score for ADP. They're just, the ADPs are based on the kind of projected overall scoring for the season. So number one is kind of early. Most of these are going to be kind of later in the draft because, you know, you don't need ADP to tell you who you want to draft with your early picks, right? You get the one pick, you're going to take Christian McCaffrey for your, you know, just to build out your portfolio probably or something like that. But one early pick is Devon Achane of the Dolphins, running back. I'm a zero RB guy, so I don't necessarily want to be taking a running back that early. His ADP is 18.7. So that means he's basically going kind of in the middle to the middle end of round two. But Achane, as we saw last year, he's probably going to have games that he misses, right? He's probably going to put up some zeros, but when he's playing, when he's starting, when he's playing a full game, he's going to put up big numbers. He had that 4-touchdown game. Has the ability to put up big yardage totals, big touchdown totals, and that's what we want. We want those high explosive week totals, and HN can give them to us. And he's a player that's going in the middle of round two, so he's got a profile that we want to target for best ball. So I would rather have him than say a Kyren Williams, who is a good player, right? I like Kyren Williams, but he just doesn't have the level of explosive potential that HN does. So that's one. Let's look at Travis Kelce, 41.5. Now in this scoring form, this you have to understand the scoring. It's half point PPR, no tight end premium, obviously. So what we really want to focus on from our tight ends is touchdowns, because they're not going to get, very few tight ends are going to have the kind of catch production that's going to make their receptions a significant part of their total output. So we want to look for touchdowns because that's where the big scoring is going to come from. Travis Kelce obviously plays with Kansas City, one of the best offenses in the league, plays with Patrick Mahomes, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He's going to have volume. He's going to have touchdowns. So, you know, maybe in a managed league where you're setting your lineups, maybe the age thing becomes an issue. Maybe that drops his ADP down a little bit. In best ball, I don't care if he misses a game like he did last year, which was kind of a first. He hadn't missed a game that was fantasy relevant before the opening week of last year since his rookie season. So if you're someone, you know, is afraid that, okay, maybe he's getting older, he might miss a few games here and there. Best ball, we don't really care, right? Because as long as he's giving you the you know, high-end weekly outputs on a fairly regular basis, that makes him a really valuable player. I personally think he should be the tight end one. His draft position right now is 41.5. Sam Laporta is the tight end one. His is in the low 30s. I think it's 32, something like that. So basically 10 picks later, you can get Travis Kelce than Sam Laporta. So I think he's a really good value. Now, he is the tight end that I am targeting, especially for my zero RB builds, where I want that high-end tight end weekly production, because I don't want to be giving up the leverage on those weeklies, on the weeks where my, you know, my running backs don't score that well, because I want to be winning the other positions so that I can kind of mitigate the issues with the downside of my potential zero RB builds. Let's look at George Pickens, who's coming at pick 50.1, so 9 picks after Travis Kelce. Pickens, again, has really explosive potential. Again, last year had, I think towards the end of the year, he had a game where he had 4 catches for 195 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, down the field threat, end zone threat. Again, someone who can put up the big weekly outputs, but is very inconsistent. And so that kind of brings him down from a managed lineup standpoint. But in best ball, again, we don't care about that. We don't care about those low, you know, those 4 catches for 25 yard weeks. We don't care about that because somebody's going to pick up the slack. Somebody else on our roster is going to be our starter that week, and he can just, you know, sit on the bench. That's fine. But we want someone who has the ability to kick out those big weeks. Pickens is in there right now. He's really the only game in town for Pittsburgh in the receiving core. They got rid of, traded out Deontay Johnson. They've got Pat Freiermuth, but just hasn't really shown the ability to be a high volume tight end. Expect the offense to be better. You've got a better quarterback situation with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields than they had with Kenny Pickett. You've got a, say what you will about Arthur Smith for fantasy, he's still a much better coordinator than Matt Canada, who they had last year. So I think the offense should be in a better position to score more often. And I think Pickens is going to be one of the beneficiaries of that upgrade on the Pittsburgh offense. Now let's talk about, I think, probably my favorite quarterback to target in best ball right now, and that's Anthony Richardson with an ADP of 60.2. The reason I like Richardson is because he has that high rushing floor. Very valuable. Just, you know, has the ability to put up huge spike weeks and still gives you, you know, the high floor because of the rushing upside. He's going right now about 8 to 10 picks after Patrick Mahomes and CJ Stroud, who are going at about 50 and 52, respectively. But he really has more rushing upside than either of those two. The durability is a concern. So he's someone that, you know, for my best ball or my zero RB bills, excuse me, I usually like to stay at two quarterbacks, say, you know, two quarterbacks, two tight ends, and go, you know, real deep on the running backs. So you probably need to concede a little bit on the quarterback because of the injury issues that he suffered last year. You probably need to draft a third quarterback, but again, at 60.2, you're not giving up. That's basically end of the fifth round. You're not really committing a huge draft capital to him. So, you know, it's not like spending a third round pick on Josh Allen or something like that. So it's a little more palatable to kind of throw in a third quarterback then. So he is the quarterback that I'm targeting the most. And I've got a pretty decent share in my portfolio. So happy with that so far. Let's move on to Christian Watson at number 82. If you're watching on YouTube, you can probably see that I'm a Packer fan, but Watson, again, is someone who has injury issues, just like Anthony Richardson last year, has issues staying on the field. That's definitely a concern. But when he's on the field and when he's engaged, you know, when he's playing at a high level, we've seen the very extreme high output weeks from Christian Watson. The 3 touchdown game against Dallas a couple of years ago. I think back to last year when he had those 2 big games back to back against Detroit and Kansas City. Unfortunately, he got hurt at the end of that Kansas City game, but two touchdowns, basically 100 yards in that game. So, again, the ability to have spike weeks in a managed lineup, a little more sketchy because, you know, you don't know when those weeks are going to come. I've, you know, kind of gone on record saying as much as I like the Packers, as much as I think their offense is going to be very good, I don't like their skill position players in managed lineup situations because it's going to, the ball is going to be spread around and there's a lot of different talents on that offense. Think of Jaden Reed last year. Think of how productive he was in the regular season. In their win against Dallas, when they put up 48 points, he had zero fantasy points, no targets, didn't get the ball. That's how this offense can run. It can be nerve-wracking in a managed lineup situation to put these Packers skill position players out there because it could be someone different every week. Best ball, we don't care, right? If they don't produce, they go to the bench and someone else rolls in for them. But Watson, and I think Watson is the most valuable, most important receiver to that lineup. He's the one who's going to be in all two receiver sets. He's, you know, gives them the downfield threat, the big play threat, kind of takes the top off the defense, opens up the defense for the kind of middle runner, middle routes that they like to run. So, when he is healthy, he is going to be in the lineup. He's going to get the most snaps, I think, of anyone of that receiving crew. So hamstrings are a concern, and don't get me wrong, but in best ball, as long as we get, you know, he's at ADP of 82, basically the end of the seventh round. So you get six, seven, eight games. He's more than, you know, that he's in your lineup. He's more than paid off that ADP. Another tight end I want to talk about is David Njoku at ADP of 92.3. So again, basically at the end of the eighth round, David Njoku last year outscored Trey McBride, who is currently going at an ADP of 49. So basically 40 picks ahead, three and a half rounds. Just for some reason doesn't get the respect that McBride did. Obviously McBride didn't, you know, didn't really start producing until Zach Ertz got hurt and left the team eventually. So there is that, but you know, and Njoku was producing after when Deshaun Watson was in the lineup, after he left the lineup, when Joe Flacco kind of took over, he was producing in the playoffs. I don't see any reason that this offense is going to take a big step down, even though the big money guys coming back into the lineup. I think he's going to be heavily targeted. I'm not a Jerry Jeudy believer. I'm not an Elijah Moore believer either. So I still think that David Njoku is going to be the second target in the passing game behind Amari Cooper. So again, had over 800 yards last year, had six touchdowns. I think that's definitely repeatable. Had a lot of targets. I think he had 81 catches, something like that. So just, I think a real good value compared to some of the other tight ends that are going in that same area or even earlier. I know Jake Ferguson of Dallas is right around that early 90s ADP as well. So, you know, if you look at it, I like Trey McBride as a player, but for best ball, where again, in this scoring format, we really care about touchdowns from our tight ends. McBride only had three touchdowns last year. And if we're looking forward, if we're kind of projecting out, the tea leaves are reading that Arizona is going to take Marvin Harrison. You know, does he kind of come in and dominate the offense? Does he take targets away from McBride? So I think there's a lot of questions with McBride. I just think Njoku is a lot more stable option. And again, at 40 picks later ADP, just a much better value. And the guy I really want to talk about at pick 168, ADP of 168.1, Justin Fields. You know, we talked about the Pittsburgh offense. I think Fields is going to eventually take the job from Russell Wilson, whether it's early, late, kind of doesn't matter. He's really someone who I would want to draft, if nothing else, to keep him away from the other teams in my draft. I would rather have him scoring on my bench than him going off for someone else. Because we've seen, again, the rushing floor is so high. The The ability, guy loves to throw the ball down the field. The explosive playability is really high. He can have these super spike games or super spike weeks that can really affect your scoring output. 168.1, that's, you know, well into the double digit rounds. He's probably going to be your third quarterback. That, you know, that's okay. That's a position where I would rather, again, I would rather take that guy, put him on my bench where he can't hurt me. He can only help me. If he spikes, that's great. If he doesn't play, you know, what did it cost me? It cost me maybe a 14th, 15th round pick. It's not the end of the world. So, but if he's going to go off, if he's going to take that job, if he's going to have those spike weeks like he had in Chicago, I want those weeks in my lineup. I want those weeks, you know, even if I've gotten Anthony Richardson and I've got someone who can have those weeks, those high production weeks as well, at least I've got Fields on my bench and he's not helping another team. He's helping, either helping me in my lineup or he's safely on my bench and not scoring against me. So those are some players that right now have ADPs that I don't think they reflect their value in best ball because of the differences between best ball and kind of managed lineup scoring. So that's it for this week. A little bit of a short show, but looking forward to the draft. We got that coming up this week, finally. Always happy to talk best ball. If you want to get a hold of me, DMs are always open. You can find me on Twitter at the Joel Wirth. Happy to talk. Any questions, feel free to reach out to me. But until next week, that's all. Closing up the draft lab, and we will see you soon.